the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with advice, tips, and resource information on how and what it takes to get it done in this business. Now, our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down, look at the graphic of our show, Question Reality, click the link, and this takes you directly to the archive page where you can view a list of all of our past guests. Our shows are also available for download on iTunes and Stitcher.com under the podcast session. Yeah, the section. Oh, God, I sounded like Bette Midler. Okay, just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box if you want to find out about our future guests. And we are booked. Thank you. Our show has become so popular. We are booked 6 months to a year in advance, so I'm very happy about that. If you want to find out who the guests are, go to questionrealityradioshow.com. Questionrealityradioshow.com. Something's wrong with me. I can't talk today. Okay. We, as always, have a fantastic guest for you today. Her name is, I love this name. It sounds like an Italian dish, Mary Lou Belli. Doesn't that sound good? I love that. It's like ravioli or more of a penne pasta dish. Oh, my God. You know, I associate everything with food. So Mary Lou Belli. And she is an incredible woman. As you know, she's been on my show before. As a matter of fact, she was one of my first guests in 2008. She is an Emmy Award winner. She's a producer, writer, and director, and we are going to talk to her about directing today. So if you want to be a director, you want to know things about directing, Mary Lou Belli is the person to tell you. Now, we're going to ask some questions, which are, we're going to discuss some of the pros and cons of going to film school as a path. Some people do it, some people don't. We're going to find out what she thinks. We're going to find out about what it takes to be a successful director from a director's viewpoint, and also what makes a great actor, and what would an actor have to do to make you remember them fondly. And lastly, what are directors' pet peeves? We want to know. So we're going to find out that from her. But first, we want to talk about our co-host that's here today, the sexy, sultry vixen herself, Laquita Clear. Welcome, Laquita.
Thank you. I am so excited to be on the show, and I just love that intro that you gave me. Mm-hmm. It is really hot.
Well, my God, it's all true, girl. All right, so we want to talk about something, Laquita and I, next Saturday, February the 9th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Studio Stage Theater, 520 Northwestern Avenue in Los Angeles. And I am making a special request, and Laquita is making a special request for all the listeners to come out and be part of the launch of our new web series.
Please join us.
Written, may I remind you, again, this is like the third week announcing it, but by Laquita Clear, and oh, she's one of the producers, and it's entitled Subject 5, and this is also a fundraiser and a con, like, you know, you've heard of, like, Comic-Con. Well, this is a very miniature version.
Miniature.
Miniature. And it now Subject 5 is a new sci-fi web series about five people with special powers who have been kidnapped, programmed, and trained as assassins. And I could think of other things to be kidnapped and tied up for, but this particular case, it's assassins. But okay, we'll do porn later.
Okay.
So again, Subject 5 Con is a smaller, similar version of Comic Con, and it's going to showcase artists and top entertainment industry speakers on a panel in the world of anime, animation,
comic book artists, Marvel. We have some Marvel and DC comic book artists, which is so cool if you read comic books.
Yeah, horror. I cannot say that word. Horror, animation, sci-fi, comedy, and it'll also feature live entertainment and autographs and photos with the stars of many horror films, animation, top video games, and anime, such as Richard Epcar.
If you've listened to any anime, you have heard this guy. Richard has been in like everything, Ghost in the Shell, Bleach, so many awesome
Robotech.
Anime. Yes, mm-hmm. That's a good one.
And another huge icon in the video game anime world is J.B. Blanc.
Oh yeah, J.B. Right? Blanc is really cool. He's actually in the upcoming Beware the Batman, which is going to be a really cool series. So you can't miss it.
You can't Beware the Batman. He was also in Bleach, Naruto, and the Avengers. So we are going to have press coverage.
Anime t-shirts. Don't forget, we have some
t-shirts.
Really cool anime t-shirts.
Yeah, hot guys.
Yeah,
I brought them in special. And hot girls. Oh, that was Laquita's part. But so we're going to have it all. And if you're an inch, do we have any more tables left? Or are they
Our tables are sold out.
Because
It's going to be such a cool event that our tables are sold out. But come, we have some great vendors. We have bookstores. We have clothing designers. We have artists showcasing and selling their work. It's awesome.
And there you go. So what else are we going to have? So you want to come out. If you're like a nerd, a geek, you love horror, you love anime, you love animation, you got to come out. And Christina DeRosa is going to be there. Now, if you want to see somebody, bring your Vaseline and just come, because I'm telling you, the girl is on fire.
Yes,
she is one of the most beautiful women I have ever seen. And she was just in one of my favorite sci-fi movies. They always do those cool sci-fi movies. She was in Piranaconda. You know those movies on sci-fi
channel.
I love them. That's like my favorite one she's ever done. She's done a million. So she will be there signing autographs. We have Bruce Bermudez, who was the sculptor for E.T.
He's done everything. Jurassic Park,
Interview with the Vampire, Terminator. Men in Black, Spider-Man,
Terminator
3, you name
He's
it.
Done
so
everything.
I'm telling you, this is going to be a hot, hot event. And Laquita and I will be there.
Of course. And I'll be happy to see you. I might even wear a comic book t-shirt.
Oh, my God.
But you have to see that.
Oh, yeah.
You have to come. Show up.
And she'll be wearing her underwire bra, so you definitely want to come see her in the t-shirt with the underwire. That's worth $10. Oh, so if you want to buy your tickets, let's talk about price. If you go to the website, subject5.com, you can buy the tickets for $10. But if you come at the door, they're going to be $15. So go to the website and buy your tickets now. Right, Laquita?
Exactly. Right now. Thank you.
All right. Now let's get on with Mary Lou before I put her to sleep over here. Again, Mary Lou Belli is an Emmy Award winning producer, writer, director. Her directing includes credits include Monk, one of my favorite shows.
It's an
awesome
show.
Man.
I had a great time doing it.
So sick over that show being gone. Read Between the Lines, Second Generation Winans, The Game, The Wizards of Waverly Place, Sister Sister, which was one of my favorites, Girlfriends, and One on One. And the last two shows earned her BET nominations for directing. She is also the co-author of three books, the sitcom career book. I love that. That was the first book I got from you in 2008, Acting for Young Actors. And her latest book is Directors Tell the Story. And I'm looking at a copy of it now.
Nice.
And it looks good. So where are you selling those, Mary Lou? Are they on Amazon?
They're on Amazon. Although it's hard to find a copy of the sitcom career book anymore. They have all sold out. And the second version, the second edition, the sitcom career book 2, should be out in 2 more months.
Uh-oh! So you're going to have to go to the Amazon website and check up on that. Is that the only place we can check
no,
for it?
No, locally, it's available in Los Angeles at Samuel French.
Oh, my favorite bookstore.
Yeah, isn't it a great one? They always have the best and most up-to-date information for our business. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Drama Bookshop in New York City.
Okay.
But, you know, Amazon ships anywhere. So yeah. If you're listening and you're not local and can't just drive to Sunset Boulevard and pick it up, you know, they'll mail it to you.
That's right. Amazon.com. And you would type in either Mary Lou Belli, her name, B-E-L-L-I, or you type in the name of the book. And we're going to re-announce those a little bit later. So now, Mary Lou, for people who did not hear your interview a couple years ago, I always like to start with this question. When you are itsy bitsy, teeny weeny little rigatoni, can you tell me, what did you see yourself doing when you grew up? What did you want to do?
Well, it's so funny that you said that you're talking about food and rigatoni.
Oh, you know
I really am. I'm first generation American. My dad was born in Italy.
Oh.
But in Italy, all my cousins call me Maria Luisa Belli.
I like that's
nice.
Hot and really saucy. Nice.
It is.
Did you have to live up to that name as a young teenage girl?
No, I did. I grew up in a major Italian neighborhood. I grew up in Soprano territory.
Oh, I love that.
I went to school with the mob boss's daughter.
Oh, I find that so exciting.
Yeah.
She loves everything mob.
I do. I'm like a mob fanatic.
I mean, when I watched Sopranos, I would go, oh, been to that location. Oh, we had our prom there.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Now, did you ever date one of the Guidos?
I did not, but there were a few people I dated whose uncles were up the river, we would say.
So you got a lot of stuff that fell off the truck, right?
Yeah.
You had lots of gifts, lots of them. Now, when you were little, did you see yourself being in entertainment, or did you see yourself?
You know, I sang and danced from a very, very early age. I studied dance from the time I was about 7 years old, and then I studied opera. Mm. The moment from teenage on, my teenage years on, and my big decision, probably as a high school student, was, am I going to go into an entertainment field? And the other thing you mentioned, the only other thing I've ever passionately wanted to do, and I still do as a hobby, is cook.
Oh,
so,
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I make a mean polenta, a great homemade ravioli, my own pasta.
Whoa.
So, and just before I came tonight, my pizza dough is actually rising at home.
It's rising.
Wow.
Well,
if you're going to have something rising at home, I'd rather it be something else. But okay, pizza dough.
Oh, he's waiting
for something rising at home. All right. Pizza dough. You make your own pizza.
Yeah.
I love to cook. It's just so difficult because our smoke detectors are very sensitive. And as soon as I start cooking, they all go off.
Yeah.
And it's you can't have any kind of light, mild smoke in our house. And that seems to happen when I cook. But I'm actually a good cook. I disabled all the smoke detectors.
Well,
so
be careful
now
about that.
Things go very well. But yeah. I like to cook Thai food, Italian food, you name it. Mm-hmm. Indian food, I cook it all.
Yeah. But obviously, the thing that won out was the entertainment industry. And
yeah.
I went to college and studied in a conservatory-like setting at Penn State University,
mm-hmm.
and got to New York in 3 years. I got my college degree in 3 years, and I started working in New York as an actor. And then after about 3 years of doing that, I moved to Los Angeles, and about a year into that, I knew that I didn't want to act anymore. I knew that my place was behind the camera.
Mm.
And that's when I started directing, and my first show was Charles in Charge.
Well, that was one of my favorites. When you were doing theater, why did you decide that you didn't want to be behind the camera? You wanted to be behind the camera rather than
act. It was very simple, and
it
became very clear to me. Acting for me was like solving a puzzle.
Mm.
And every time I solved the puzzle, every time I felt like I had really found a performance, had figured out who the character was, had analyzed a script, had gotten to where I wanted it to be, the idea in theater is doing many, many performances mm-hmm. over and over and over again,
yes.
and keeping it fresh, and that in itself is a great challenge, and I admire anyone who does that. you mentioned Monk, my friend Tony Shalhoub just closed in possibly the best Broadway show I've ever seen, called Golden Boy. And, you know, to do that show night after night is just a miracle, because I'm telling you, it was transformational to sit in the audience and see that. But for me, the challenge was always about telling stories. So it was a very natural way for me to find the title for this new book I co-authored, Directors Tell the Story, that I wrote with Bethany Rooney. But for me, it was finding the story, either as an actor, but once I found that, I wanted to move on to the next story.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a perfect fit that I found that I wanted to direct, because that's what we do. We figure it out, we analyze a puzzle, we solve it, we make it happen, and then we move on to the next one. And it's never about performing, it's about finding the next story.
That's really great. I'm actually just curious, coming from an acting standpoint, do you ever miss being in front of the camera, or do you ever miss your acting days?
I don't.
Oh, cool.
I really don't. You know, I'm nearly vested as an actor in the Screen Actors Guild, and you know, I might go back to it at another time, you know, maybe years and, you know, decades from now. But for me, it's behind the camera is absolutely where I want to be. Now, does it inform my acting experience in the way I direct? Absolutely. I first and foremost consider myself an actor's director. So I love that my knowledge of the process of acting helps me get the performances I want out of actors, and also provide a safe haven for them to do their best work so that I can tell my stories.
How do you think... Well, I think the best director used to be an actor at some point in his or her life. So how do you find that directors that have not had the acting experience are able to get the best performance out of an actor? Do you recommend being an actor before you are a director?
You know, I teach at USC in the School of Cinematic Arts, and the first thing I do for the directing classes I teach there is I absolutely make my directors act. I want them to walk a mile in the shoes of an actor before they try to tell an actor what to do,
mm-hmm,
or possibly mold an actor into what they want to do. Do I think it's absolutely necessary for them to have done it professionally? Absolutely not. You know, there's two main components in terms of storytelling as a director that you must really master both. Actually, what I would say is three. The first one is being a leader.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is elucidating, finding the performances you want out of actors. But, of course, the main thing, especially not in theater, but telling it cinematically and knowing your cameras and how to tell a story with a camera is, of course, a huge component. Now, certain schools of cinema teach camera work first and foremost, and telling stories through pictures, and those people might not be as good with actors as a person who comes from my background, but as long as a director creates a safe haven for an actor who already has skills, you're going to get the performance you want. It's doesn't really matter where you come from.
Mm-hmm.
We're storytellers.
Now, you've done theater, television, and film.
Mm-hmm.
Film, correct? How do you approach each of these processes, like as a director?
Well, you know, in theater, and it's been a while. Although I was offered two big shows this year that I wasn't able to direct. One was Molière's Tartuffe, which I would have loved to have directed. It's one of my favorite classical plays.
Mm-hmm.
And I was offered Claire Booth Luce's The Women, another meaty project.
Mm-hmm.
But I, with theater, you know, the rehearsal process is much, much longer.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I'm going to approach that is going to be a much more layering of finding who the character is. I probably won't even think about where are people going to sit, stand, block the show. As opposed to when I do television, an actor will come to the set and we'll read the scene through, but most often they look at me and they want to know, where do I start?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and which door do I come in?
Mm-hmm.
And where do you want me to sit when I get here? You know, those sort of guidelines help mold what the pictures are going to look like that I tell the story with.
Hmm. And how
and film and television are basically the same.
Yeah. Yeah. How
in television, though, we just say we do it faster.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now, what, in your opinion, do you feel are, say, minimum 3, maximum 5 characteristic traits of a successful director, do you think?
First and foremost, absolutely, they must be a leader. They must be the person to whom everyone on the crew and cast looks for what's going to happen next, how we're going to conduct ourselves on the set. The second one and trait that I think is absolutely essential is being respectful.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I think I get the most out of the crews I work with because I truly, truly, you know, respect each and every contribution that everyone on the crew makes and know I can't do it without them.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing is probably kindness.
Mm.
I think if you treat people well, they will treat you back well. And you can get performances out of actors and get work out of a crew in other ways. But isn't it nice if, especially if you work in a day-to-day environment where you're working, you know, anywhere from 12 to 16-hour days, if you're working in an environment that is supportive mm-hmm. and kind. Ooh, two others. Let me look.
Well, you know, don't worry about them. Let's move on to pet peeves. What are some pet peeves, not only for yourself, but from other directors that you've heard about actors on the set, like things that
okay,
they do?
Okay, first one, not being prepared.
Okay.
Television works way, way, way too fast to have someone come in and waste everyone's time.
Mm-hmm.
It's rude. And unacceptable for anyone to show up and not know their words as an actor, or if you're a prop master, to not have what's been called for on the production calendar and what probably was discussed at a production meeting. You have to do your job well, because everything else depends on it, and everything falls apart if one person doesn't do their job. Another peeve, this one's a sensitive one. I don't want an actor who's too needy.
Mm. What do you mean by that?
By that, I mean a person who constantly, constantly, constantly is so insecure that they need to be
validated
for each and everything they do. My feeling is if you're really good, you're in that zone, and you should know that you're good.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll probably hear more from me if you're not good.
Mm.
I'll probably have to, you know, mold that performance more. But, you know, it's... I was directing a former athlete, now actor, Rick Fox, on Thursday night, I think, was when we were doing his scenes. Nope, it was, we were at the Georgia Dome on Thursday and Friday, so it was Wednesday night. He had this really, really emotional scene, and he just nailed it. Now, he did that with opposite his wonderful co-star, Wendy Raquel Robinson, but of course, Wendy's always been an actress.
She's great.
Rick is an athlete turned actor. And, you know, he just was brilliant. And it was, you know, he got attaboys from everybody. Of course, Wendy was there to support him. But crew members, you know, I saw the director of photography, you know, come up and say, you know, give him attaboys. And it was just so great to see him know that he had done sensational work.
Mm.
You know, and for me, that's one of the great joys of directing, when someone has succeeded. And more than that, when they know they have. And I'm not talking about cocky.
Right.
I'm talking about there's a gratefulness, like, oh, I really put it out there. It was hard. It was scary. And I got there. Mm-hmm. And for me, seeing that sense of you know, that well-being and that sense of accomplishment mm-hmm. it's a director's dream.
What do you think, LaQueen?
I think it's pretty amazing, first of all, everything you're saying, especially one of the things that really hits home for me is the fact that you feel free to let actors let themselves go in front of you, because I think that's very important. As an actor, you want to feel comfortable with your director and want to feel that you can kind of let yourself go and that you're not going to be judged. They understand where you're coming from. And in this space, you feel free. It takes you back to acting class, kind of like when you're in acting class with an amazing instructor, you feel free to try anything. And well, in that safe space, you're like, wow, this person really, really is supporting me, and I can do anything that I want. And it makes you more free, and it makes you a better actor, I think.
Well, yeah, I think the actor that doesn't feel protected and safe, to use your word, on the set or on stage, has been denied one of the main tools they need to do their work. You know, I'm married to an actor. I used to be an actor. My son is an actor. I love actors. I love working with them. But I really, really have never forgotten how hard it is, and I respect the nakedness that is needed to do that job. I think acting is harder than directing, to be perfectly honest, because of that emotional availability that is necessary in order to do that job well.
That is exactly what I was going to ask. In your opinion, what makes a great actor? What separates a good actor from a great actor?
Wait
a minute. Let's take it even further. What separates? Oh God, I hate to say this, but I'm gonna just say it. And we've all seen them. But what separates a bad actor from a good actor from a great actor? I'm just putting it out there.
I think a great actor finds things in the moment. They do their homework. They come to the set, and then there's the discovery. That's way more than anybody expected. And very often, nothing planned that they expected. Mm-hmm. So it's that extra. The good actor, you know, is that wonderful, and I say this in a very positive manner, journeyman. You know, if we go back to people who were first apprentices and then journeymen and then accomplished masters at their craft, journeyman actors who, you know, do their homework and come and just deliver exactly what's needed, mm-hmm. you know, and then the bad actor,
stepping on your lines. I often see this, and I don't like to use bad actor because everybody's doing their best, because if you want to be something, then you're going to try your very best, I would think. But let's not use bad actor. Not skilled enough actor. Okay. Yeah. I find that what I think separates them is that when I watch some of the shows, God bless, you know, I love sci-fi, but, you know, we have our moments with those films. Some of them, the actors, I feel like they cannot wait to say their lines. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah,
they like step on the lines, or you can just see it in their eyes. They just like, oh, hurry up so I can say my
lines. They're not listening.
They're not in the moment. They just cannot wait.
You know, and I have to say, there's a sci-fi show there's actually two I adore on the Sci-Fi Channel.
One is
Warehouse 13.
Oh, God, that's our favorite!
And the other one is Alphas. And I'm telling
I
mean, there Fantastic. Is sensational work going on
definitely.
Both of those shows. Now, there's probably others I don't watch, but those
Merlin,
two,
yeah,
oh, they just blow me away.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's so interesting because I equate sci-fi as the Shakespeare of
I
our
love
time.
I love sci-fi. I love sci-fi.
Because think about
but you
it.
Never it's, know what you're going to get on sci-fi.
Yeah.
That's why
could
I like
good
it.
Good or horrible.
Is right. High stakes,
yeah.
Other worlds. You know,
that's right.
Huge, mm-hmm. huge things that happen, you know, that could affect not only the personal realm they're in, but the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just as Shakespeare's things are challenging, I think the stories they tell on sci-fi have a huge breadth,
yeah.
you know, BREADTH,
yeah.
you know,
yes.
just a huge breadth.
And I love how they just put anything on. They don't care. I mean, surely somebody screens Dino Croc before it's put on, but they put the shit on anyway. They're like, I don't care. I'm going to put this on and you're going to watch it or you're not going to watch it. And I like that because some of them are really campy and they're like, oh my God, that's so bad. But I just continue watching.
And some people love those.
Because I love it.
Yeah, some people love them.
I don't care. I'll watch bad actors, good actors. I don't care. I just get fascinated with that they're doing it, and they're doing what they think is the best job in the whole world. And I like that they're trying, and they believe that is the very best. It's very much like American Idol when you watch them, and they just cry and break down, and they know they are the best singers in the world. They're not, but they believe in it, and I love that a person believes in what they're doing. Even if they're bad, I love that they believe in it.
Well, an actor needs that kind of commitment to try anything. And what I try to provide for any actor, regardless of their skill set, is that protection to mm-hmm. know that they can dare.
Yeah. Do you do classes?
I do. I teach. I obviously teach directing at USC. I direct both an undergraduate and a graduate class. But I try to teach a class at least once a year, actually two different classes. One of them is a requirement before you can take the second one, but based on the sitcom career book. And it actually, one of my, a student came up to me and said, why aren't you teaching your book? He says, you wrote this to be used at universities. Why don't you teach it?
Yeah.
So I seriously, I teach
idea.
My book. I teach
oh,
my book.
Do.
I try to do it once a year. The hard thing for me is to find five consecutive or five Saturdays in a row when I'm available. So
please let us
Laquita,
know about it.
The
Laquita
next one
and
is.
I want to
You know
come.
What? They should contact me at marylou@sitcomcareer.com.
I'm there.
And I put you on a waiting
one.
List because there's a waiting
oh,
list
I
and
bet.
It sells out very quickly every year.
Where do you have
and,
it? Various
you know
locations?
What, Noah? Well, I usually rent a venue. There's a beautiful studio that Scott Sedita owns on Larchmont Boulevard, and I've been using that for the few years, but I've also used the Actors Network studio.
Okay.
So it depends.
So we never know. We won't know.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, I
want to
get on that
Russian
waiting
roulette
list.
With this woman here. We don't know when it is, where it's going to be, and we got to be on the waiting list.
But I'm very good. You contact me, and you go on the waiting list, and I contact you back as soon as we set the dates.
So that's Mary Lou at
Sitcom Career.
SitcomCareer.com.
And Mary Lou is MarylLou.
Oh, my God. Oh, ask her some more questions.
I have so many.
She's an actor.
I have tons of questions.
Yes.
One question that I have as an actress is, when you see a tape for somebody's reading for a read between the lines, let's say, do you look just at raw talent or do you look at training that an actor has? Do you look at the
resume? Oh, I definitely look at training. I look at experience. The good thing about comedy is for an actor that if you can nail an audition, it's more of an even playing field than other venues that you might be in because obviously, if you're on a sitcom, being funny is one of the main ingredients. So I'm always looking for that, but I'm definitely looking for comedy technique. And the reason I co-wrote the sitcom career book with Phil Ramuno, and it's coming out in the second edition, but the reason I wrote that was because on a daily basis, Phil and I had actors coming on our sets who were good actors, but just didn't have some vital information that they needed, technique that they needed in order to do their job well. And I'm not talking journeymen. I'm talking about people with Tonys. I'm talking about people with Oscars.
Just
I'm talking about people with Emmys.
Yeah.
You know, it's the saying is dying is easy, comedy is hard.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true.
I want to ask you, I'm glad you brought that up. There is something called like the three C's of comedy. What is that? There's like a method to comedy. And I learned that. Remember when you when I met you at my friend Lynn Milano's studio, Signature Studios, there was a guy who who was that? He's a casting director. And he said, there are there are three C's that you absolutely have to know in comedy. There's a formula to it. And I'm like, really? I never knew there was a formula.
You know, it's probably things that are covered in the book, but you know,
yeah, like certain things
faster
like
is funnier. K's and P's are funny.
Why is that? Comedy, what does that mean?
Comedy comes in threes. It's very, very simple.
Yeah.
In terms of K's and P's.
That's it. Comedies come in threes.
Yeah.
Explain that. What
comedy
is that?
Comedy comes in threes. There's, you know, it can be very, very, it can come in various shapes. It can be a list. Your first item, your second item, your third item, which is the funny thing. It can be, I say something, you say something. One, I say something, you say something. Two, I say something, you say the punchline. Three. It's always the third thing that's the funniest. Or it might be, I say something, one, you say something, two, I say the punchline, three. But comedy has always had, they call them runs of three, or some people call them triplets. And as far as the K's and P's go, K and P belong to a group of sounds called plosives. And really, it's not just K's and P's that are funny. It's actually all the plosives in the alphabet, which are B, C when it sounds like K, D, K, P, G when it sounds like G, Q because it's K, W, and X because it's X, not when it sounds like Z.
So is this something that's done subconsciously?
Oh, cool. No, quite the opposite.
I don't understand. Like,
okay, so you get a script. I always say getting a sitcom script is like getting a treasure map. And you have to know how to analyze the clues.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that almost all your punchlines are going to be at the end of a sentence. So, you know, this is really simple. You look at the periods and you look at the words before the periods and say, is that a punchline?
Mm.
And then you delve further and you say, well, what kind of joke is that? Is it a run of three? Is it a mislead turn? Is it alliteration that makes this funny? And there's all sorts of clues that you should be looking for. Almost always in a sitcom script, the writer might give you a little stage direction before the punchline, telling you how to deliver that punchline
mm-hmm.
with a little hint. You might have a writer that separates the setup and the punchline with a dash dash. All these clues that you should know, and then of course the treasure is finding the punchline and getting the laugh.
Now, where does one go if they're a beginning actor to learn?
You get the sitcom career book.
No, listen.
Phil and I said, Phil Ramuno, the co-author, and I said, we knew at least a dozen people who could have written the sitcom career book. The unique thing about it was nobody had.
Mm.
And we basically wrote down, you know, things that, you know, icons like Dick Van Dyke or Peter Engel, who had, you know, created Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
And he, when I was directing two different shows for him, he had seven shows on the air at the same time. I mean, these are people who know comedy inside and out. You watch Lucille Ball. Mm-hmm. My technique when I'm teaching acting, comedy acting, is you learn by doing it. I was telling Laquita about this class I teach is really a drill and kill class. You just go, you just do things over and over and over until you have mastered them. A lot like a musician does in terms of doing scales, or mm-hmm. a ballet dancer mm-hmm. might learn as in doing a bar. But you do it over and over and over. But you learn by doing it. You learn by watching it, because every scene a lot of the scenes that you will practice in class, then I'll show you how did it appear on television.
Yeah.
That same scene we just did, what did it look like? So you're learning from the masters who did it. And then you learn from each other. And you don't just learn from each other when it's good. You learn from each other when someone's made a mistake. And then also you learn from someone when they've done something wonderful and unique. And then you, I always say, first class, steal it. Try it on for yourself. See if you can master that way of delivering that joke. And then as you own things, I can tell an actor, usually before they even open their mouth when they walk in for a comedy audition, the confidence with which they walk in the room knowing they can nail this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's black and white in comedy. You either nail it or you don't.
Right. Now, I have a question.
You have lots of questions. I love them all.
I do, but this one is a weird one. This is going to be a weird one for you. Have you ever heard of actors who I know you have, because Danny DeVito told me this, and I know it's true. Have you ever heard or seen actors who come in and they are the worst at auditioning, but if you just gave them the part, they would rock it like the Casbah?
Oh, being auditioning and doing the part are completely different skill sets.
I suck at auditions like you wouldn't believe, but give me the little script and I can work it.
Well, listen.
But I can't audition, Mary Lou. I hate it. I go into panic mode. It's like, I don't like it. Because I usually go between, I don't know why, but my agent sent me on auditions where there's like 10 people in the room. I went to audition for True Blood. There's 10 people looking at me, including Peter, the big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Why does a director or a casting director, can they see beyond the audition? I mean, can they see?
Oh, I think so.
I don't know. A lot of them turn down
so
good people who suck at auditions.
And then here's the reverse. There's people who are really good at auditioning.
Yes,
and
we all know those.
And they don't deliver on the set. So,
yes.
You know what? Yes, I try to see through that. I can tell when someone's in a panic mode. And the only thing I have to then decide at an audition is, will I be able to create that safe environment? And I will try to do that in the audition setting. The thing for actors, and I have to say, you have to be good at both. You have to get good at auditioning. And, you know, if you can turn an audition in your head into the other thing, Marietta De Prima, who was one of the stars of the Hughleys, shared something that I think I put in Acting for Young Actors. It might be in the Sitcom Career book. I can't remember which book it ended up in. But she talked about auditioning was like being part of your own rep company where you get to play all the parts. So every time she got new sides, it was, it's like, I get to do this week, or, I get to do this today. And then if I had to do another audition in the afternoon, I'm running it in rep with this one. And the joy of working out what she wanted to do, and the love of auditioning. I think the actors who are most successful at getting jobs.
Yes.
Are the people who like to audition.
I know.
But
because
you enjoy it, yeah.
Yeah, well, what happens if you like to just do the work, but you don't like the audition?
Well,
like, Conchata Farrell has my dream role on 2 and a Half Men.
Isn't she wonderful?
Oh!
Great.
I know. You know, it's so funny because, you know, I'm a fluffy person. I like to call myself fluffy. I got some roles going on, honey. But I used to go to these auditions, and we would all see the same person, all little fat people sitting in a room. Here we are, just hanging out. And when I came on the scene, I ran into a wonderful woman named Cleo King, who I had worked with on Boston Public. And she was telling me, she said, well, you are just so lucky that Conchata got that part on 2 and a Half Men, because she used to come in here and get every damn part. Every time she'd come
and
in,
now she's
rock
busy.
It. Now she's busy.
That's
so we're
great.
Going,
everybody's like, woo!
And we're all like, woo! Yes! But at the same time, we're like, God, she got that great part. But it is so important that you do rock the audition. So...
And just know, and I won't name any of them, but there's lots of actors who have had careers who never got good at auditioning, and they still have had careers, so there's hope.
Yes, I have talked to many celebrities, and they have told me absolutely that that's true. So there's hope for me. But, you know, you can go to so many audition classes, but what is it that's going to get you in that door? Like, you know you're funny. You know you're funny. You know if you were on that set,
I think the pressure out of it. If you take the pressure out of, like, I have to go to this audition. I have to be so good. I have to get this job. If you just go in there and you have fun, or you go in there. I've had auditions where I go in like, you know what? This is my part for right now. And I'm doing it how I want. And those are the jobs actually that I've gotten when I didn't care. When I went in and said, right now, this is my part. And I'm playing this part how I want to play
it. I'm telling you, I think wanting the job is death.
Yeah.
Death to an audition. Yeah. I think an actor should measure the success of an audition by one thing and one thing only. Have I delivered in the room what I set out to do? Mm-hmm. And if you did that, I think the first thing you should do, that door should close as you walk out, and the first thing you should do is pat yourself on the back.
That's so true.
And say,
it's hard to do.
I did it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everything else is in someone else's hands.
Yeah.
You only had control over that. And if you succeeded at that, wow.
Wow.
Wow for you.
And you go in again and again and again and again.
But sometimes you go in auditions and you think, oh, huh, I rocked it. And then you did not because you didn't get the
role. Oh, wait. No, that, you see, that's completely wrong.
Really?
You did rock it.
You could still, yeah.
You did rock it, but sometimes 10 people rocked it, or sometimes you rocked it way better than everyone else who went in, but it was the producer's sister who needed a job.
That's true.
Any number, you know, of lots things. Of
nepotism. Right. I always say, every time you didn't get the job and you go, you try to figure out the answers why you didn't, which is, again, not a good idea.
Maddening.
But if you do that, I bet if you made a list of 100 things of why you didn't get the job, I bet it was 101 the reason why you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you
Well,
think
I just think personally there's been a particular casting office that I've been into 8,000 times. I've done a good job. Mm-hmm. I still haven't gotten the job. They keep calling me back. Mm-hmm. So obviously I'm doing something right in the room. Mm-hmm. I haven't booked, but this particular office for huge shows keeps calling me back.
That's
I'm getting
good.
Callbacks.
That's
I'm going
good.
To producers, yeah. But I'm not getting the job. So I just want other actors to know that just because you don't get the call or you don't book the job doesn't mean that you did a bad audition. Doesn't mean you're not good. It can be any number of reasons why you didn't get the job. And for me, sometimes it's funny because I've had jobs where I just knew I did an amazing job. I've even had times where the director emailed me and said, you were awesome. And I'm thinking, well, why are you telling me this? You know, I didn't get the job, but there's so many other, now we know as producers, we're producing things, our last project, it comes down to a couple people and then you're like, who looks better with this person?
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many number of reasons, you just can't figure it out. I go to my audition, then I think like, what am I eating for lunch next? Because I can't figure out anything
else.
Well,
but also, you know how I say you pat yourself on the back when you leave the audition? When you get a call from a casting director you've already auditioned for to come back in for another role, and in your case, many times, wow. You should be flattered beyond belief.
I am, but I'm starting to wonder when I'm getting
No. You know, the universe will decide when that happens, and I truly believe that person is saying, is validating you in the most positive way. I know someone who went in an audition for the same show. I think it was it Hill Street Blues? No, NYPD Blue. For 12 major guest stars.
Wow.
And got the 13th one.
See, this validates you never know.
Oh, I know. You never know. You have any more questions for Mary Lou before we
I do. One question that I want to ask, because so many people in this industry always want to know, we always hear these stories of, I started directing at this point, or this was my first show, but how did you get, somebody who's looking into getting to directing, how did you get your first job as
a
director?
Directing is a huge responsibility, and you get, and it's a huge amount of money that someone is committing to you, not just what they're paying the director, but basically the entire budget of the show lies in the hands of the person directing the show. So you have to provide a safe haven for the producers to know that their show will be safe with you. So what are the two essential things? You have to have the skill set that absolutely can complete that job. And then the second thing is, they have to like you. They have to feel good about you because they're basically placing their family in your hands. There's different ways that people get the jobs. I got, I think when a mentor believes in you and will say, Mary Lou should direct this next episode, that certainly goes a long way. For me, I had directed and produced a huge amount of theater and had gotten some sensational reviews. So someone outside of my agent who's going to say nice things about me, by the reviews, there was an instant validation that someone outside who didn't have to say nice things about me had seen my work and said, this woman knows what she's doing. When, you know, they would write something like, there was a moment that you could hear the crack and popple of everyone in the audience because everyone was so waiting for that next moment to happen, you know, and it was under the direction of Mary Lou Bell. You know, that sort of quote can just, you know, help your career.
It's great.
Well, I am going to make it on a damn sitcom if it's the last thing I do, and Mary Lou Bell I will be directing it.
Yes!
And I'm going to win
it. I would love that.
And I'm winning the sidekick.
And I'm getting the Emmy!
Yeah.
Damn it. I don't care if I'm at the age where I'm on a, what is that, the Golden Girls. Because that's, every decade I'm like, okay, we're getting closer to a Golden Girls sitcom, but hey, if they're still making them, look at my idol, Betty White.
She's amazing. And look at that career.
Her career
and
is amazing.
And talk about good people.
Oh, yes.
You know, a stellar, stellar reputation in Hollywood as being
absolutely.
A ethical, moral, kind, wonderful person,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. And she still has that same little saucy tongue that I have. She used to talk about sex all the time
on
the match game. What
game?
I loved it. It was a game show back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And she was very progressive. She was like the little Mae West of the 70s.
She was.
All the time. So, but we have come to the end. We are doing the last hurrah here with Mary Lou Bell. We hope to get her on, but she is so busy and popular. Real quick, what you doing, like in 1 minute, what are you doing next? What exciting things coming up for you?
I'm completing an episode of The Game in its sixth season. I should probably be done with that by next Thursday.
Channel is The Game on?
It's on BET. And also Second Generation Wayans just started airing this month. But I just have to tell you, on Friday night, The Game got an Image Award for Best
Amazing.
TV
Yay!
Comedy from the NAACP.
Woo!
And I'm so proud to have directed that season.
Oh, that's great.
Really quick.
Do you do coaching when you're in town? I know you only do one
class.
I do,
but they can reach me through marylou@sitcomcareer.com.
Okay, and you do private coaching?
I do when I'm available.
Awesome.
And when I don't, I refer them to someone who is equally skilled.
Okay, so they can reach you through your website.
Well, see, I didn't even know that, but now I'm going to be calling you,
Marylou. That's what I wanted to know from my...
Please do.
You've got to get me through these damn auditions.
I will.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, well, it is time to say goodbye, and we will hopefully have Mary Lou Bell on our show again. But next time you come, she's going to have to bring me a pasta dish. We're
going
to have to taste this food.
A book this time, next time you get the pasta dish.
A cookbook. You need to do a cookbook.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Thank you so much, everybody.
And thank you.
Thank you. Say goodbye to your fans, Mary Lou.
Goodbye.
And
for
Laquita,
listening.
thank you so much for hosting. Hopefully, we'll have Laquita back on. She's been a wonderful host today, right?
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for listening to Question Reality. And we'll see you next week. Oh, we're having an exciting Caroline Leem. She's a casting director, so she's going to be on next week. Exciting, exciting. So we'll see you. And the 9th, February the 9th.
February the 9th. Be there.
Yes, the Studio Stage Theater our Subject 5 web series. Okay, gotta go. Love you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.